Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to gather together. And thank you for what you've already done in our hearts. Thank you that you're drawing us closer to you. We want to start this year off strong. Would you shine your light on us? Would you minister to us? Would you empower us to become everything that you want us to become? I ask that you would open up our ears to hear what you have to say. May our hearts be expectant to receive a word from you, Lord. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And I, Lord, ask that you would stand in this my body, and you would think with my mind, speak with my tongue, say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Praise God. So hopefully on your way in, you've got one of these, or they're close by, near to you. We're going to be using that as we talk today about some important things in starting strong, in this journey of beginning strong in the things of God. Amen? And so we're thankful. We're thankful for that. A couple of years ago, I injured my lower back really badly. Anybody ever injure their back? If you've done that, it's not a fun scenario. And so I injured my lower back pretty badly in an exercise accident that I had. And so I had gotten hurt before, and I would just get back up and I would be fine. You know, the next day I'm good. But this one just lingered and it just hurt a lot. And so at some point the doc said, well, you don't need a pill. There's no surgery that's going to fix you immediately. What you need to do is go see a person called a physical therapist. Anyone know what that is, right? A physical therapist. So when I got there, I originally thought she was going to just give me some pointers on what to do so that I can be better and be good. But when I got there, she asked me questions, and then she started to have me do some exercises. You ever exercise in front of people? She started having me do exercise, and I was sharing with during the first service that she said, what you need to do is your back is hurting, and there's things that are wrong there, but what you need to do, you need to start strengthening your back muscles and your core muscles. You need to start strengthening them so that the pain will go away and you can just be who you were. But you need to do these exercises. So she had me do all kinds of different exercises. Now, at one point, there were two or three of us that we all had pain in our back. And so this physical therapist, this lady, was having us do the same exact exercises together. And I already forgot. I asked the first service, what's that Olympic thing where the girls are in the pool and they do synchronize swimming? Thank you, David. I appreciate it. Were you here in the first service? Oh, you were here. Yeah, I think he already knew. Bam. Synchronized swimming, right? So it's like three guys doing physical therapy that would otherwise normally not be in this scenario. But this lady had us doing these weird things like, oh my goodness, no cameras in here because I don't want anybody to see this. But what she was doing was having us do awkward or different kind of exercises that we weren't used to, so that muscles that needed to be strengthened inside of us could be strengthened so that we can be healed. Are you with me? But an interesting thing happened too. She said, you can't, you know, after you leave here. So we did all the exercises. I'm like, oh, man, that's great. I think I feel a little bit of work there. That's great. She says, now, I need you to go back home. And every day, I want you to do these exercises. Okay. And if you can, I want you to do them twice a day. All right. And so I got home. I'm okay. I'm gonna get I need my back to get better. I need to be fixed. I need to be healed. So every day I'm committed to this. And first day goes by and I wake up. You know, it's like I need to do those exercises. You know what? I got all day to do them. You know, there's a long time before the end of the day, so I can do them later. And so I wait, and then but at night I'm in bed. I'm like, oh, I forgot to do them. I'll do them tomorrow, you know, and you know how that goes. And so 2 weeks later, I was scheduled to meet with my physical therapist, who had told me that I needed to do daily exercises, that I need to be disciplined every day so that my back could be healed. Are you with me? And I needed to do that. So I go 2 weeks, and I hadn't done anything. And I go to her, I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't really done my exercises. She said, okay, let's start doing it again. You need to do these. And you know what's fascinating is that during times when I'm doing the exercises, my back feels great, right? Because I'm strengthened. But when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, pain comes. And here's what I want to talk to you about today. We're talking about starting strong this year. Everybody say, start strong. And we're saying that the way that we start strong this year is by developing spiritual habits that are going to exercise muscles that maybe we're not used to exercising. Are you with me? There are some things that people, followers of Jesus, do that are unique exercises, that are unique physical therapies, are actually spiritual therapies, so that we can be strong and be healed in our spirit man. Amen? And so what we're talking about, we talked 2 weeks ago about starting off with the Word of God, that the Word, diving into the Word, is one of those exercises. Another one was prayer, we talked about last week. This week we talk about a fun one. We're talking about fasting. Everyone say fasting. Fasting, don't get nervous yet. You'll have time to get nervous later, okay? When we talk about fasting, but don't get nervous yet. But fasting is doing something, fasting is the first fill in there. Fasting is to abstain from all or some kinds of food or drink, especially as a religious observance. It's abstaining for food or drink for a reason, for a purpose, especially as a religious observance. And so what we're talking about is doing this exercise that some people don't like to do. And I won't show you the exercise because I don't want to embarrass myself in front of you. But there are a couple of exercises that are of the physical therapy kind that are just awkward and weird. I frankly don't even like to do them in front of my family because they just look funny. Daddy, what are you doing? Right? Daddy, what is that? It's like, oh, these are physical therapy exercises, right? And in the same way, sometimes there are spiritual exercises that you and I must do in order to be strong so that we can accomplish everything that God wants us to accomplish. Fasting, to abstain from all or some kinds of food or drink for a reason. Everyone say, for a reason. Not just because, but for a reason. Fasting is doing something you can do. That's the next fill in there. Is doing something you can do so God can do something you can't do. Spiritual habits, physical therapies of the soul, if you will, are things that we can do. So the doctor says, or the physical therapist says, here are some things that you can do. I want you to do this so that your back will be healed. But here's the deal. You can't heal your back. The physical therapist would tell me, you can't heal yourself. Are you with me? Okay? But if you do these exercises, then those exercises that are around your back will help your back to be whole. And in this process, what God is saying to us is, you might not be able to heal yourself of whatever you're going through. Sometimes we go through addictions, broken relationships, our finances are a mess. Sometimes we need God in all kinds of different areas, and we can't touch them. We can't heal them ourselves. Are you with me? But what God says is, I want you to start doing these exercises, these disciplines, and as you do them on a day-to-day basis, I will start strengthening your spiritual muscles in such a way that eventually, from time to time, you'll start growing and start strengthening, and you're going to see relationships restored. You're going to see addictions broken off of your life. You're going to see the healing that God is wanting to give to you as you do these on a day-by-day basis. Amen? Spiritual habits, starting strong, the spiritual habit of fasting. Number one, I want to talk about some of the wonderful things of fasting, and just bear with me here in the next few moments. The first one is the consistency of fasting. The consistency of fasting. The scripture says that Jesus was preaching, and he said this, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Does that make sense? So some people say, oh, I'm fasting. Pastor Lewis, how are you doing today? I'm doing great. Is something wrong? No, everything is fine. And I'm acting in such a way as to make it obvious that there's something going on, right? And the scripture says, don't do that. When you fast, when you withhold food for a spiritual purpose, for a reason, don't advertise it to the world. Don't do that. Don't disfigure your face. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. They said, hey, if all you want is for people to know that you're doing this, then that's your reward. They'll just know. But when you fast, everyone say, when I fast. Say it again, when I fast. Put oil on your head, a little gel. Right? Put oil on your head and wash your face. I'm kidding about the gel, by the way. wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Will reward you. Fasting has rewards to it. The spiritual exercise of fasting can reap the rewards of healing your spiritual core. The physical therapist tells me these exercises are to strengthen your core, your lower back, and your stomach. It needs to be strong so that the rest of your body can function well. Amen? These spiritual exercises are strengthening our spiritual core. And some people have strong spiritual cores. Some people have weak spiritual cores. How can I tell who has strong spiritual cores and who has weak ones? Well, when a bad circumstance happens to everyone, strong or weak, amen? It doesn't matter who you are. Difficult things are going to happen. The way that you can tell what's going on inside a person is when something negative happens, what comes out of them? Somebody said that we are like toothpaste. When we're squeezed, whatever's inside comes out. Amen? And these spiritual exercises are helping to strengthen so that what comes out of us is something beautiful and life-giving that will be not just a blessing for us, but a blessing to our children. This past week, I was alone with the kids in one of the evenings, and I was just not feeling it. Any parents or something just not feeling it? And I was just, I was with the kids, and I just wasn't feeling loving. I wasn't feeling like I wanted to play with the kids. I just said, get away from me. Yes, that happens to me from time to time, okay? Pray for your pastor. So, but there came a moment where I just sensed, you know, there's something wrong. Not out here. It's not the kids' fault. It's not this person. There's something going on right here inside of me. And I told the kids, hey, kids, I need a few minutes. I need you to give me some moments. And by God's grace, they did that. Supernaturally, it was God. And I took like 10 or 15 minutes, and I just had a little bit of time. Listen to this. This is going to be fascinating. A little bit of time in the scriptures, and a little bit of time in prayer. It was like 5-10 minutes, okay? I just needed a little something. I needed to connect with God. I needed to work out. Because my core was weak, and so I did that, and I didn't expect the world to change it, but I did that, and I was like, okay, all right, kids, we can have the rest of the night. And can I tell you, I was a different human being after that. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I was just not a very nice daddy before that. And after the Lord's like, yes, let's play. Yes, let's do this. But nothing changed out here. Are you with me? Sometimes we're saying, yes, we want to win this year. If this person treats me nice or if that changes, nothing changed out here. But what's happening inside of you is more important than what's happening outside of you. And that's why we need to strengthen our spiritual core with fasting. When you fast, Jesus said. You're going to say, when you fast. When you fast, in other words, this is not, if you really think it would be a good idea for those monks and really spiritual people, pastors probably have to do it, but when you fast, it's an invitation. Here's the cool thing. It's an invitation. If you're nervous about fasting, can I just tell you, listen, God is inviting you to a deeper place with him. It's an invitation. But I don't know, but I'll get hungry. Yes, you will. But it will hurt. Yes, you will. God is taking you to a different place. Something about pain and God and beauty is all connected. Amy was telling me a story yesterday about a lady who was a beautiful woman married to a wonderful guy, had a baby, and in the midst of a perfect scenario, she had a stroke at the age of 20-something. Is that right? 28. She was 28. She had a stroke. And she had been a beautiful woman, done some modeling work and marketing work and all kinds of stuff, and great family. Everything seemed perfect, but in one moment, she had a stroke at 28 and everything changed. Her face was deformed. She could have died. She lost the use of some of her legs and all, and now she's been recovered, but it's been very painful. But instead of going into a dark hole and closing the door and never coming back out, what they decided to do, because they believed in Jesus and they had some kind of strength in their core, they said, I'm going to give this suffering, I'm going to give this pain to God. And now, even though she had a great life before, because of her pain, everyone say pain. Because of her pain, she now speaks to hundreds and thousands of people around the nation, telling them that God is a God who can strengthen you in the midst of your suffering. And God has used the pain to bring life. And fasting is a way, a small way that God says, if you will experience a little bit of hunger pain, it's the most primal feeling, right? When you're a baby, you're hungry, you cry. You were so used to being fed. When we say, no, I know this is, I need food, but I'm going to put it aside because I want God more. And a little bit of pain with God can change something on the inside of me. It tells me it's not all about stuffing myself. It's not all about, I want that, I want this. We're so used to get it whenever you want it. God's saying, no, 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 I want you to purposely, voluntarily, not just because pastor said, but because I'm telling you that this spiritual exercise will transform the core of who you are in your spirit. I want you to be strong. Let's put away food for a season, for a meal, for two meals, maybe for a day. There are some people, if you can believe it, that God calls to fast for multiple days. I have a friend of mine who said to me one time, God is calling me to do a 21-day fast. And when you talk about 21 days, some people talk about 21-day fast, they're just going to eat fruits and vegetables and eat something like that, you know, and that's great, and that's a wonderful thing. But this guy, nothing, just water. He was just going to drink water for 21 days. And I said, man, brother, you know what? God bless you. I hope you do well. Right? Because it's hard. It's difficult. But there's something about it. Can I just tell you that this man, and this is a good friend. I respect him so much. Of course God is on his life. Of course God is using him. Why? Not because he just didn't eat for 21 days. Because he put away food and said, God, I want you. And just so that you know, I've never done a 21-day fast. Okay, so I mentioned that as an example. I'm not suggesting that you should do that. But can I just tell you, at least once a week, part of my practice is, at least once a week, whether it's a meal or two, sometimes God gives me enough grace to do a day, I'm going to say, I'm not going to eat so that I can spend time with the Lord, so that I can spend time doing the spiritual exercise that's going to strengthen a spiritual muscle that needs to be strengthened. Amen? So the consistency of fasting. The second one is the importance of fasting, the importance of fasting. And I'll go very quickly through some of these here. The importance of fasting. FYI, Jesus fasted. We're going to look at some important people in the Bible. Jesus fasted. And as he fasted, it gave him strength to battle the enemy. That's the next film there. Battle the enemy. Battle the enemy. The scripture says this. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Everyone say hungry. You know, Jesus was hungry. He was fully God, fully man. After 40 days, he was very hungry. In this particular story, the Spirit of God leads Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, as it says. And spoiler alert, you love spoiler alerts, right? FYI, Jesus Christ overcomes every single temptation that the enemy throws at him. But I want you to see that he overcame the temptation from Satan himself, who showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You know, when we read it, you say, oh yeah, Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms. But can you imagine someone showing you all the kingdoms and telling you, you can have all of it. It can be yours. You can be in power. If you just, the devil said, if you just say that I am Lord. And he did several different temptations. And every time, Jesus answered very uniquely. Jesus, every time he had been praying, he had been fasting, and every time he answered a temptation from the devil, here's what Jesus said. It is written. It is written. We talked about the Bible in the first week. We talked about prayer this past week. Today we're talking about fasting. The importance of fasting. Jesus fasted to be able to battle the enemy. Next, Moses. We know Moses? Moses fasted. He fasted to receive revelation from God. Revelation from God. When I went up on the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord had made with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water. And here's all I want to say about this. In a special moment in the history of God, in the history of God acting in this world, Moses and the people of Israel, he walked up to the mountain and he was going to get a revelation from God, the Ten Commandments. God was going to write on the tablets. And in that process, Moses was in an attitude, a posture of prayer and fasting. Amen? And what I'm trying to say is that there's something connected with the pain and the discipline of fasting to strengthen our spiritual core so that you and I can walk up the mountain to face God and he can speak to you a word that maybe will transform you. That maybe will transform you and your kids and your family. Jesus fasted to battle the enemy. Moses fasted to receive revelation from God. Daniel fasted to receive understanding about the future. Understanding about the future. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. And then the Bible says that the angel came to him and said, I'm going to give you understanding. I'm going to give you clarity about some things. And God showed him a glimpse of understanding about the future. Something that I wasn't originally going to share today, but I shared with the early group, and I think I need to share with you. If you can look up Psalm 119, start in verse 97 for me. We're going to read that. I actually read this yesterday, and it really touched me for lots of different reasons. But as soon as you have that, you can go ahead and put that up there for me. And I want you to see that there's a scripture, there's powerful scripture in the Bible that talks about the importance of, here we go, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Amen? Your law is God's word. So the psalmist is saying, I love your law. I meditate on all day long. Your commands are always with me. I'm going to say always. Always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. Your commands make me wiser. If I've been acting foolishly, I can touch your commands and I can be wiser. Are you with me? Okay? Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. How many of you are smarter than your teachers? All right? Thank you, Edie. Appreciate that, man. Awesome. We'll have you up here soon. Right? I have more insight. I have more insight, more intelligence, more wisdom. Stuff is coming. I have more than my teachers. Why? Because I meditate on your statutes. So I want you to see something. Insight comes from meditating on God's statutes. Are you with me? Insight from meditating on God's statutes. Watch what's happening here next. I have more understanding. I don't say understanding. I have more understanding than the elders, for I what? Obey your precepts. I have more understanding because I obey. So insight comes when I meditate on God's word, but understanding comes when I obey God's word. So let me just tell you something. There is something that happens when we get it from here. Okay, I know what I need to do. I know the physical therapist is telling me these are the exercises. It's not enough for me to just know what they are. It's good that I know them, but that's not enough. I have to obey her and put him into practice in order to see, oh, this is how this, it's actually working. Are you following me today? Amen? So in the same way with God, when we meditate on his statutes, we're learning, we're growing wiser. But we don't get understanding until we actually start obeying. And some of you have not gotten understanding, and you don't understand what's happening, and you don't understand what the next step is, because you are still in the meditation mode, and you say, I have not taken that step of obedience. But here's the deal. When you start reading the scripture, even though you don't want to, something starts happening inside of you. When you start praying, even though you don't feel like it that day, something starts stirring inside of you. When you start fasting, putting away food, this is crazy. I don't understand, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take that step. You're going to start to understand some things about yourself, about your kids, about stuff that's been going on in your life that you never understood. Why is this addiction always on me? Why is this relationship always broken? You've never understood it, and you never will until you take the step first of obedience. Of the spiritual exercises that strengthen the core of who you are. Esther fasted for deliverance for her people. Esther fasted for deliverance for her people. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. I'll just say this publicly just so that we're in sync. Of course, if you have some kind of health issues and you need to talk to your doctor about this, please do that. Pastor said, fast 21 days. No, what I'm saying is, start small. Start with a meal. If you can. If you can't do that medically, if you can't do that, most of us can, by the way. And you know who knows if you can or not? God does. But if you can't, talk to your doctor, figure things out, whatever you need to figure out. But in some way, what will I give up to connect with God? Esther fasted, and her people fasted, and her people were delivered from the hands of the enemy. Sometimes we're not just fasting so we can get closer to God. We're fasting because we need a breakthrough in our families. Are you with me? Our family is going to hell in a handbasket. We need God. And so we cry out. Oh, our people are suffering. The hurricane happened in Puerto Rico not too long ago. People started seeking God and fasting and praying for the people. Wherever you come from, there's something about fasting and praying for your brothers and sisters, for your family. And the Bible tells the story that deliverance came. And if you don't know any of these stories, I would encourage you. It's some of the texts that are there, the chapters before and after, tell the entire story. I would encourage you, even if it's just one, dive into the scriptures at some point this week. 5 minutes with God. Jesus fasted. Moses fasted. Daniel and Esther fasted. Israel fasted for protection from the enemy. Protection from the enemy. So we fasted and petitioned. And here's what that particular story said. A group of Israelites were in exile. They were slaves in a different land. And the king of that land gave them permission to go back to Israel and build the temple. Are you with me? So they're in a foreign land, and the king has given them permission to come back to Israel to build the temple. But that was a long road and a very dangerous road. And they thought to themselves, we don't dare ask the king for bodyguards, because if we ask him for bodyguards, we're in essence saying that our God can't protect us. Amen? I shared this with a previous service as well. In July, we had clergy on patrol here, which is where a lot of pastors come together in one location in the city, along with police officers and people from the administration, and we just walk the streets, telling people about some of the services that are offered. And of course, we as Christians walk the streets to tell people that God loves them. Amen? And so we did that. But here's something interesting. They told us, you're going to walk the streets, but a police officer is going to be with you at all times. And some of us, you know, were like, hey, we got a cop with us. We're okay. What, we want to go to that place that kind of looks intimidating? Let's go, because we got a police officer with us. Amen? Because sometimes it helps when you can see the protection, when you can see the person that is there. The people of Israel are saying, we can't ask for police officers, we can't ask for cops, because the king is going to say, well, how powerful is your God? And so here's what they did. Because we have a long journey, a very dangerous journey, back home so that we can build the temple. The scripture says, so we, what? Fasted. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this. And listen to this. And he answered our prayers. He answered our prayers. Finally, the early church fasted. And God helped them in choosing the right person. The scripture says while they were worshiping, so the next one is choosing the right person. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them. While they were worshiping and the Lord was fasting. This was a key moment in the life of the church, and they needed to send out some people to represent the church. And so they didn't just say, any, mini, miny, mo. Okay, you go. Okay, you go. No. They prayed and they fasted. They said, God, who do you want us? Who do you want to go? And out of that decision, they chose the right people. One of those, by the way, was the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, wrote most of the New Testament. Amen? So I think that was a pretty good choice. And it came from prayer and from fasting. But it's not just in the church. Listen, some people have difficulty choosing who to date. Some people have difficulty choosing who they're going to love or who's going to love them. And can I just tell you something? The Bible says that you and I, through prayer and the exercise of fasting and seeking God, God can provide a person for you better than you can provide one for yourself. Amen? Because fasting is about doing what you can do. I can say no to a meal. So that God can do what you can't do. Find yourself a spouse. Or heal your relationship. Or break the addiction off of your life. Amen? What fasting is doing what you can do so God can do what you cannot do. And sometimes it's choosing the right person. The early church chose through fasting, they chose the right person. And I tell people, young people this all the time, sometimes we try to take the place of God. And we say, I'm going to find myself somebody. I'm going to make this happen. I am going to work it out. Well, what we should be as followers of Jesus is exercising the muscle of prayer and fasting and saying, God, I trust you. And can I just tell you that in those prayers, then this man can walk into a New Year's Eve party running after his kids and by chance meet a wonderful woman who a couple years later would become my wife. Because, can I just tell you, listen, I was trying to honor God, and when we honor God, God honors us. If you will choose to honor God in everything, God will honor your life. And he is a better matchmaker than you and I could ever be. This applies to calling. It applies to who you are, your purpose, your destiny. Seek God. That will be made clear. So number one, the consistency of fasting. Number two, the importance of fasting. Number three, the power of fasting. The power of fasting. And he said unto them, little boy that was demon-possessed, and the disciples couldn't do anything about that demon that was in this boy, and so the dad brought him to Jesus. And I told the early service, it's always a good idea to bring unsolvable problems, bring them to Jesus. Amen? Situations that are just you just can't get through, bring it to Jesus. And he said unto them, when the disciples asked, why couldn't we drive out this demon? He said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. There's something about prayer and fasting that releases the power of God in our lives. How do we do it? And I'll finish with this. How do we do it? The last three fill-ins there. Number one is prepare for it. Prepare for it. We need to prepare. If somebody is cooking for you or you are responsible for some food things, prepare in advance. Hey, you don't have to cook for me today, or hey, you know what? Today we're going to do something different with food or whatever it is. Prepare for it. Everyone say prepare. Prepare spiritually too. Sometimes we need to prepare for what's going to happen. Usually when I try to fast, it's a day where I know I will have time where I can talk to God. I usually don't want to fast on a day where I'm going to sleep until 10:30 a.m., praise God. And then I'm just going to kind of stumble around, and I'm hungry, I don't want to think about it, so I'm going to play video games or watch Netflix episodes. And then in the evening, I'll just do whatever to distract myself and just go to bed early. And that will be my fast. No, prepare for it. It's saying no to food so you can say yes to God, amen? It's no to food so you can say yes to God. So what pockets, maybe not all day, or maybe during the meal. Okay, I would have breakfast right now. I'm going to fast breakfast, and I'm going to spend that time connecting with God through his word and in prayer. Amen? So prepare for it. The second one is pray during it. Pray during it. And if you've ever fasted, especially for more than one day, you're not going to be reminded to pray. Say, God, please help me. Because there's something about the pain of hunger. You just cry out to God. But can I just tell you this? When I've been obedient to do this, and it's not 100%, you guys, I don't want you to know, I struggle with it just as much as you do. I love food. Amen? So God knows that when we, especially people who love food, when we put food aside to seek God, God looks from heaven and says, look at my boy, look at my daughter, look at what they're doing. And I'm going to start blessing them in ways that they could never imagine because they're building up their strength. Their spiritual core is strengthened through this. They're going to see me because they are faithful. I'm going to bless them. Now, just to let you know, God loves to bless us when we don't deserve it. Amen? I am so thankful that God has blessed me and saved me and taken care of me even when I was doing none of these things. Amen? But what I'm saying to you is that there is an opportunity, there's a door, there's a window to get to the next level with God. And there are some things inside of you that you don't need someone else to pray for you. You don't need some great sermon or some great conference. What you need is to do the physical therapy that the therapist told you that you needed to do so that your back will be healed. And until you do it, it's not going to happen. I can walk around all this and say, God, please heal me. God, please heal me. God said, hey, I already gave you the answer. You need to work on some of these things. Prepare for it. Pray during it. And then finally, praise after it. Towards the end of your fast, God, thank you for what you're doing. Make it a worshipful thing. Connect with God. Praise God after the fast. How is your spiritual core today? Are you ready for the rest of the year? Can I tell you something? My daughter Sarah, from time to time, likes to find ways to jump on Daddy from the most awkward spots, right? Like, you know, I'm either sitting down or something, and she's like, Daddy! I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Can I just tell you? When I haven't been doing my physical therapy, those jumps kind of just hurt a little bit more. Does that make sense? Because my back is not strong, and I haven't been doing what I was supposed to, so that when something comes into my life that I didn't expect it, my daughter jumping on Daddy, punk, I'm not as strong. But when I have been doing those exercises, and I feel a little bit strong, when she jumps on me, hey, I'm Daddy. Strong Daddy, right? But it's not just because I'm strong, it's because I've been doing what I was supposed to do. And sometimes in our lives, spiritually, stuff jumps on us that we didn't see. We didn't know it was going to happen. Circumstances come that you didn't know. You're tempted to do something that you thought you were done with. A person tries to come into your life that you thought were gone. And sometimes, if I've not been doing my exercises, I've not been connecting, praying, and reading my scriptures, and my core is strong, I will be succumbed by the temptation. And when that jumps on me, my back hurts, and my spirit is crumbled, and I go back into the thing I always go back to. But when I've been working out my spirit, man, when I've been seeking God, and my core is getting stronger, and now the same person tries to get my attention, I say, no, I'm sorry, I'm done with you. I'm walking with God. I'm going in a different direction. Or something jumps on you, a pain, a loss, or something. It does not destroy you, not because it doesn't hurt you, but because there's something inside of you that is holding you up from the inside. The Bible calls that Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Christ in you. More of Christ. What you and I need is more of Christ. And when we pray, and when we fast, and when we read the scriptures, it's not that we are becoming stronger. Listen, it's that Christ in us is becoming stronger and stronger. And so he fights our battles for us. And we become the men and women that God's calling us to become. Amen? On your seats, you should have a little bookmark, I think. If anybody has it, just raise it. So thank you, Benzita. There it is. There are some resources there, both for prayer and for fasting. I would encourage you to look into those. Listen, I'm not saying that you can't have lunch today. Amen? Cheer up. You can have lunch if you want to. Praise God. Amen? What I am saying is, God, would you help us? Would you help us to put this into part of our exercises throughout the week, maybe throughout the year, so that we can be the men and women that you're calling us to be. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your scriptures, of your word. Thank you for calling us to a different level. Thank you, God, that you love us. Oh, thank you, God, that you love us no matter what. That you have been merciful and graceful to us, even through our weakest times. So some people here, I know, God, there's some people that just feel spiritually weak. Listen to the word of the Lord. God, the Father loves you. He loves you right where you are. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. No, God knows, and he loves you right now. He loves you. He wants to welcome you. He wants to embrace you if you will let him. He is a gentleman. He will not force. He will open up his arms and wait for you to come embrace him. He is a gentleman. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And Father, by your Holy Spirit, I thank you for the work that you're doing inside of all of us. May this be the year where the core of our spirit, man, the core of our spirit gets stronger through the habits, the disciplines that you're calling us to do, the things that we can do so that you can do what we could never do. We trust you and we love you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Amen.